Well, joining me on the Crispin Flintoff show on a Sunday morning, it's Tony Greenstein. How you doing, Tony?
I am fine. This time last week, I was contemplating spending a few years at Charles's pleasure and not in the Sandringham estate, which I'd put in for.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, did you sleep all right last night? I mean, I could see you were up to no good blogging again last night.
I'm afraid so, yeah. I had to get my blog out. So, yeah, I was up quite late. I got went to bed about, God knows, 4, 5, I can't remember. 5 o'clock, I
My
think.
God.
Yeah.
Are you going to take a holiday at any point?
I will do, yeah. I don't know
From
when.
blogging as well? From blogging as well, or do you take that with you?
I probably will take my laptop with me and produce one or two things there. Yeah,
Oh,
yeah.
I imagine I thought you might. No, I think the easiest way for us to discuss your case, your trial, is to go through some of what you've written on your blog.
Yeah,
So I'll,
sure.
because it's probably the freshest thing in your mind. This is the first page of your blog. You clearly haven't been cowed by the experience of being in court because you've written Judge Sarah Plaskett spewed bile and venom as her determination to have me convicted was th thwarted. Jury acquits Tony Greenstein of terrorism charges at Kingston Crown Court in just 2 hours. So that I think the link to the blog's just been put into the chat there if people want to read it.
Yeah, I'll put it in it there anyway.
Yeah, I thought you might. Now, the thing about the blog is the first thing that struck me in your blog was this complaint. I'll just show that on the screen. You've submitted a complaint
I have,
to
yes,
the
yeah.
Judicial Conduct Investigations Office. We can't see the details of that in that screenshot that you provided, but what is it basically that your nature of your complaint there?
Well, when she got the verdict, because she undoubtedly got the verdict before they'd actually announced it, she said that she had contemplated citing me for contempt of court and then decided against it on reflection because it really was only the ramblings of an old man.
Yeah.
Which is really outrageous. I mean, if it were ramblings in the way she says suggested, I wouldn't have been acquitted. And she knows they weren't. She knows very well that she detested what I said, but felt unable to intervene.
You think she knew the verdict before she
Oh,
before the
yeah, the
Is that
judge
how it
did.
normally works?
I think so, yeah, that
Well, I
seems
didn't
to be
know
the
that.
case, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, right. If I'd known that, it would have made that is really out of order, considering if she knew the verdict, definitely, yeah.
Because that made me think, oh God, the jury have actually convicted me because I had expected an acquittal, given it was only 2 hours. So I thought, oh, maybe she knows something I don't know. But then when they read it out, this young guy, he was the foreman, it was just not guilty. And of course, everyone erupted. They couldn't believe it really until it happened.
Well, she had told us all in the public gallery, don't make a noise. If you are, you have to leave before the verdict. So I think
Absolutely, yes.
she was quite a cold kind of voice, and you thought she could do anything. It was a bit she was a bit scary. You didn't seem that scared by her. I mean, twice in the court, she kind of warned you, Mr. Greenstein, about what you were saying and how you were saying it, and once or twice I winced when I heard what you said. But I'd obviously we've seen you on the Zoom plenty of times, and it was mild in comparison to that. Were you at all worried about those that she could, I mean, she could hold you in contempt of court?
No, No, if she had done so, then I think it would have rebounded. I've actually got a warning today from my solicitor. I mean, I could try and, from my barrister, if I can read it, if I can find it somewhere here. No, it's not that one. They were always difficult when these, like, my barrister sent me something today. Hi Tony, Zafar, who's my solicitor, just sent me the link to your blog. In it, you basically admit you deliberately committed contempt of court. I don't know what to what extent it will be read or republished, but if read by your enemies, you are handing them on a plate the opportunity to have you prosecuted again. Please try to think of that before you write or speak about this further. To which I've said, yes, I know I'm what I'm doing. I'm head face my enemies down and challenge a deliberate crippling for the right to a fair trial. I've done it with my eyes wide open. We have to be honest and say we don't accept your rules. I mean, if they want to go ahead with a contempt of court charge, I think they will rebound on them, because what they'll be saying is they don't accept the verdict of the jury.
Right.
You know, I.
I worry about all this stuff, I have to say. But you seem very confident. You've been through it a few times, I imagine. So
Well, it's only a
you
maximum of 2 years for contempt, whereas previously the maximum was 14 years. I think you can handle 2 years without. With remission. It's a civil offence, actually, but they would be stirring such trouble if they tried that I don't expect even my w worst enemies are that stupid, though they are sometimes stupid.
Well, look, I'm just one. I mean, I don't really want to get you into any more hot water. I mean, I
Don't
don't know.
worry.
You
No, no,
seem to
no.
be quite happy about
Just
talking
ask
about it,
what you want. Don't be
but
inhibited.
with the judge, I thought, because you've made a complaint about the judge, but I'd like to talk about the judge a bit, because
Yeah.
some of the stuff that was going on in the court that I couldn't report on in the week because it wasn't in front of the jury,
Sure.
it was. There was some of it was really quite alarming. I mean, that when she was asking your barrister, what questions is he going to
Yeah, it
ask
was
you?
outrageous. It was outrageous.
We were all shocked. I mean,
Yeah.
you're being examined by your barrister, you're being questioned by your barrister, and she's saying, "Now tell us roughly what you're going to say." And then when it was going on, she'd then stop it and tell the jury to leave, and then they'd come back in. After she told the barrister, you can't ask that sort of question, you can't do that sort of question.
Yeah.
And so one time they only came in for about a minute and a half, and
I
she said,
know,
sorry, but you'll have to go out again. And we were really in the gallery, we were really shocked about this. I mean, this seemed like the Menon, the Rajiv Menon case. It's like the barristers are being put under a lot of pressure, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I was told by my last barrister in Wolverhampton that she wasn't prepared to jeopardize her professional reputation, etc., by going against the judge. And that's the problem, even with left-wing barristers. They're afraid of losing their status or being hauled up before the professional bodies. And therefore they self-censor in a sense. And that's why I took the speech. I mean, my solicitor urged me strongly to let my barrister take the speech, but I said no, there are things I can say that he can't and won't say, and that I
Right.
had the freedom,
And
and
that
I
was a bit like the
exercised.
Filton. I mean, the Filton case, the last one at Woolwich, they all spoke, didn't they? The defendants, they dropped their barristers. So that seems like something that's coming out of the Rajiv Menon, is that's going to maybe happen more often.
And I really regret, I mean, I said it to one. To Claire, I think it was, that I really regret that they didn't defy Johnson and say, look, if you convict us of criminal damage, you will be convicting us of terrorism. You do realise that, and we will get a much. It's a real tragedy. I wish I had been able to advise them, but I wasn't there, of course, so I couldn't. But people have to be prepared to defy what the judges say because they are stooges of the state. They are part of the state, and they're not going to look after your interest. And their rulings are directed at getting you convicted. And of course, that's what Sarah Palaszczuk did. She saw her role as getting me convicted, and I saw my role as not getting me convicted, if you see what I mean. So there was no way I was going to restrain and tailor what I said to her rulings, because clearly there was a it was diametrically opposed. I was going to explain to the jury what the context was, and of course, context is what they hate. They want to narrowly focus on the particular breach of the law without putting that law in any wider perspective. So, yeah, you just have to do it. And I wasn't prepared to go along with what she was saying. And of course, I was in ignorance, not being a barrister myself, you see. So I can plead ignorance of what strayed across the border.
Yeah, I noticed that you sometimes said stuff that like that there was one point where you said you could be sentenced to 14 years, and then she had to come in later and say to the jury, don't think about the sentence of 14 years. So you, and I'm sure a barrister wouldn't have made that point. They probably would have got in trouble if they'd said that. But you could probably you could say that, and that was a very strong point to make. I mean, I had to say, because I wrote a bit about your speech. I was looking at you from behind. I couldn't we couldn't see your face because you were facing the jury. We weren't in a position to see you, but I think you looked very vulnerable when you were talking to them and being yourself. And you were very honest about who you were. You didn't try and spin who you were at all. You were totally you, and it came across that this guy, he's just wants to put out his ideas, and he hasn't done any wrong. He's only had three tweets that have been misinterpreted. How could he put him in jail for 14 years? And I could sense afterwards that they must have. What did you feel of the jury when you were looking at them? Did you look at them a lot, or did you look at your
Yeah, to some extent. And I saw some of them leaning forward, in particular, one or two young women at the front. So I really connected, especially. And obviously, I used, when I talked about the devil and I said they deny anaesthetics to children having amputations, and I could see them wince because I was just saying that that is what evil is. And that's what the Israeli Defense Forces represent. It's not Hamas that's the terrorist. It's the very people that we're backing. And people can see that, because they're monsters. And yet we're backing the monsters. And we're living in the age of monsters, in a sense.
So
So.
you, when you were on the, when you were talking to them, you were looking at them
Yeah.
and not just at
Oh,
your notes.
yeah, yeah, yeah,
And
yeah, yeah.
I don't imagine, I haven't seen you make speeches before. Was it different to making a normal speech when you were kind of aware of them? You had to kind of look at them, try and work out what they were thinking or what might work with them. Was that a different experience?
It was a different experience because I don't usually speak from notes. I usually just, I either speak off the cuff or I have the very briefest word triggers so that I know what topic. Whereas here, I was trying to stick fairly closely to the script, but I was kind of going off on a tangent or ad-libbing or adding extra information and also editing it. I was editing it along because I've been editing my speech almost up to the time I wrote it. And I have my friends, I mean, I had a whole support committee, really, really wonderful people, Nimi, Kathy, Reem. It's, really close friends who were holding my hand in a sense, because you do need that. You need kind of emotional and intellectual support. And two of them are lecturers at Sussex University, and they are really, really great people. So I wouldn't claim credit just by myself, because I didn't. They would say, no, that's not a good idea, or try this or whatever. So you do need to work collectively with people if you
I mean, the
can
thing
do.
about that, can I just say that the thing about you is you don't often say things to get support. You often say things because you just want to say things, and sometimes what you say can be quite abrasive. So for
Me?
you to kind of say stuff to an audience, like a jury, if you like, who you really want them to support you, but it must have been a bit. Oh, he's gone. Right.
No, I'm here. I was
Oh,
just going to turn another light on.
right, okay.
Yeah,
Yeah, we need
there we are.
for you to sort of try to win over support. Doesn't seem a bit like Tony. It doesn't seem a Tony-ish thing to do, to sort of like, can you be my friend, 12 of you, and support me. It doesn't seem like your kind of style, but
Well, I
you didn't
didn't
sell
say things.
yourself out. You didn't sell out to do that, did you, sort of thing.
No. I mean, I obviously wanted them to vote to acquit, but the best way of doing that is to be honest and open and not lie and not dissemble. So, because I think they appreciate that. I mean, I said, you don't have to agree with me on anything, but the whole idea of freedom of speech is that you can say, quoting Orwell, it's the right to say to someone that which they don't want to hear. And I think people understand that freedom of speech means that you don't have to agree with it. But in the words of, I think it's Voltaire or Rousseau, I will defend it to the death your right to do so.
Look, I just need to. I can't talk too long to you because I'd like to talk for much longer. But there is one issue that I
Absolutely.
need to address, which is how it got to the court in the first place. Because you mentioned it in your blog,
Yeah, here.
and I just want to show this screenshot of Sarah Sackman. You mentioned her in your blog. Can you tell us what that's about?
She is a detestable creature. She was vice chair of the Jewish labor movement, or what I call the Jewish paedophile movement, because they seem to have a lot of paedophiles in them, including their former chair, Ivor Kaplan. They are the Israeli Labour Party abroad, so that they're complicit in all the ethnic cleansing and the genocide and so on. Although people have illusions they're on the left, they're no such thing. And in 2016, along with Mike Katz, who is now Lord Mike Katz, of course, she wrote a front page article in the Jewish News about so-called anti-Semitism, and included in that was a sentence saying there are a lot of problematic figures in the Labour Party, including Tony Greenstein. That was a direct attack on me. And it's quite obvious that if you're performing a semi-judicial function that she was, which is giving consent to a prosecution, because you have to do that if the matter relates to a country outside Britain, then you're biased. I mean, how can you pretend otherwise? Lord Hermer, Richard Hermer, who was the Attorney General, was honest enough to say, well, I've got relatives serving in the Israeli army, therefore, I have a conflict of interest and can't make a decision. So he passed it to the Solicitor General, who was Sarah Sackman. But she has no integrity and no honesty, and she forwarded it. And when it went to the Court of Appeal, they went along with it. I mean, the judges we have today are corrupt and dishonest. And you saw that, of course, in the Palestine Action, when Lady Sue Carr contrasted the peaceful suffragettes with the violent Palestine Action, when anyone with any knowledge of history knows it is the reverse, that the suffragettes were more militant than anything Palestine Action was doing. So they twist and bend the most essential facts, and I don't believe for 1 minute she didn't know that. So it's
Yeah.
just utter dishonesty, and we have to
It's
call it out.
incredible that they brought that case to court, and the jury threw it out in under 2
Record
hours.
time, yeah.
It shows that that it was wrong to have bought it. And also, just to say, your barrister did put a no case to answer claim, or whatever you call it, before the judge, and she threw that out as well. So she had an opportunity to not go through the whole process earlier in the trial, and she didn't. That's something else I couldn't have reported on during the trial. But yeah, there was a no case to answer because of case because of the ruling on this ABJ about the distinction between supporting an action and supporting an organization. And that had been put as, you know, what you had said was about supporting an action, and it therefore wasn't the same as the organization. And the judge said, oh, that's not relevant, and made a really weird sort of analogy about that it's the same thing supporting an action as an organization, because she said it was like, and I've got a quote. What did she say? She says, it's like clapping your hands for a school team goal is also the same as supporting the team. If you clap your hands for a school team goal, it's the same as supporting the team. I can, and then the way she said it was like it was some kind of axiomatic phrase from Homer or something. Do you know what I mean? It was like so bizarre, and everyone just nodded along with it. But yeah, the anyway, look, I've got to shut up because there's people who want to come and congratulate you here. There's Huda Amori is on the call.
I heard it.
Huda,
Hi, Tony. Hi,
what would you like
Chris.
to say to Tony?
We meet again.
Sorry, what was that?
What would you
We
like to
meet
say to
again.
Tony?
I would like to say congratulations. Congratulations, Tony.
Yeah,
Did
thank
that
you very much.
brilliant, brilliant closing speech. I know it's been a long time coming. And it's just a unanimous acquittal within 2 hours is quite an achievement. And I think it's worth noting as well that since they've done all of these Section 12 cases, I don't believe they've got a single conviction.
No,
So
they
they have these
haven't.
cases since October 2023. So really shows that, they should just be dropping all of these cases now. But congratulations.
Yeah, no, thank you. And I hope that everyone can stand up in these cases. And I don't think they should apologize. Or I didn't mean this, or I didn't mean that. People have to come out and say, I support the Palestinian resistance because genocide is the ultimate supreme crime. Everything else pales into insignificance. I think that's really important because actually, I think a jury appreciates that when you make that argument, to be quite honest. I won't quote anyone, but just to say, I think sometimes people have gone astray and thought they will say, well, I didn't really mean it, I went wrong, and forgive me. Then juries get confused.
Well, I think to be honest, the law is extremely confusing. Like you're saying, when you're talking about a case law, the ABJ case. And the judge is saying it's one thing, and then we're saying it's another thing. I mean, how is anyone supposed to know what they're allowed to say anymore when it comes to the groups that they decided to prescribe under the Terrorist Act? And it's not even the point, it isn't about whether or not you can get it right or wrong. It's whether or not they can find something and use it against you where you may have slipped up. And with all these Zionists hunting everyone and their social
Absolutely,
media
yes.
posts, but just
Juries
that.
don't look at legal decisions. Juries really are more open to broad principles. Bring out the sadism of the Israeli Defense Force and say, this is who you're supporting. You know, put them on the defensive. You know, the attack is the best form of defense. I mean, that was the approach, because I didn't think, if I got into the nitty-gritty of ABJ and what this sentence meant, I would have lost them, to be quite honest.
But can I just say, Huda, that the judge was trying to restrict stuff about the past, Tony's past, his, you know, saying, I mean, some of the quotes were ridiculous, but anything that wasn't said in the three tweets, anything before that about Tony's life, she said it's irrelevant. She said it's like a, if he had a speeding ticket, it would be like the history of the road. It was a bizarre stuff. And then she said anything after it was irrelevant as well. So Tony's barrister was trying to make a point about how what we've seen in Gaza since was also similar to what was going on before October the 7th. And it wasn't just about after that. But then she said it, nothing after is relevant either. So she was just getting it down to that thing. I mean, Tony didn't listen to her, and that's quite good. But I don't think a lot of people would have the courage or the inclination to challenge the judge. It's quite intimidating, isn't it?
Oh
I
yeah.
think we're in a new era, and I think when they're pointing out your specific tweets, they say you can't say anything before happened or anything afterwards. Basically, everything boils down to what you said at a certain point on that day, and that's it. And whether that amounts to the offence, that's what they're doing in everyone's cases now, where it's just about did you do the offence or not? Omit the context, remove all of the context. Whereas in every other type of case, if you've got in a fight or whatever, you'll be able to go through all of your background, what happened before and leading up to that, and give all of the context and all of that. But they are trying to strip it away, and I think more and more, it is obvious. Like with the Rajiv case, barristers unfortunately are not doing enough when they're doing their closing speeches. They are scared away because of Rajiv's case and by being done for contempt of court. And increasingly, people are facing much more severe consequences. So there is a point where the consequences you can face of not challenging the court are much greater than the challenges of challenging the court. So it does become the lesser evil in terms of go down for contempt or go down for terrorism. So that
Yeah,
is the
absolutely.
point people are at.
Yeah. Well, look, thank you, Huda, for coming on. It's great to see you again. And I'm sure we'll talk about another case soon.
Yes.
Cheers.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Take care.
Yeah, we'll
Well
see
done,
you
Chloe.
later. Take care.
Now, we've got another surprise guest for you
All
here.
right.
Ronnie Casrils is on
Oh, God.
the call.
My dear comrade.
You were mentioned in the court a few times, Ronnie. Were your ears burning? We had
Well,
Tony was quoting you
I think
for.
I've been mentioned in too many court cases. But Tony,
They must,
what
yes.
a joy. We were hanging on to this all week. I've got to admit, I was really, really so concerned and hoping for the best. And I want to tell you from South Africa, all of the comrades, the canary is singing, Crispin. The canary is singing with joy and strength, with Tony, with the collective of the world, with the Palestinian people, with anti-Zionists everywhere. The canary is singing, Tony. Thank you. You're symbolic. You have been so brave. Your
No.
integrity shines through. You're a modest guy. It's wonderful to have you as a friend. You're symbolic of international solidarity and the fight for justice and the struggle of the Palestinian people. The canary is singing in Gaza and the West Bank and Lebanon and all over. So you speak to everybody and those who feel at times that it's really not worthwhile to raise a voice, to stand in protest, to go on marches. It goes on and on, the slaughter from decade to decade. And everybody, the world, justice, comrades, needs people like Tony. And this is why it was wonderful that there was a wonderful, outstanding group at the court in solidarity. And Tony, we continue with the fight, with the struggle, and we will be victorious. The Palestinian people will be victorious. So
Absolutely.
not to overdo it, Crispin, but Tony, your trial, and I'm now talking about your trial to a jury representing not only British society, but representing the world. And the people of the world understand what justice and truth is about, and what the struggle of those who are oppressed about, with the bombs raining down from Iran,
to Lebanon and Yemen and throughout Palestine. And what's happening to people who stand up bravely. So it's very, very important. But what I recall is a Nelson Mandela standing in a Pretoria court in 1964, having to speak in his case to apartheid judge and assessors and his wonderful group of advocates were actually rather like yours, rather nervous about accused taking the stand. And he insisted, because like you, he wanted to speak from the depths of his inner being and the motivation, which not even the best advocates in the world can do for the person in the dock. You chose the correct course and you won it. You won it. And that jury showed why a trial by jury is so much more important, because it also shows that jury was sensitive. They were showing how society is sensitive and that the judges are there to protect the property owners and the ruling power. You demonstrated that, and that's so vital to all of us. So, Tony, you keep on with your singing. Tristan, you keep on with the canary. It's wonderful, and we are happy and we are singing for you. Tony
Well, thank
Greenstein,
you, Ronnie.
we're
Thank you, Ronnie.
singing for you here in Johannesburg, South Africa. Lots of love
I can
and good
hear you.
health.
I can hear the singing. Don't worry. But yeah, I just think that given what's happening in Gaza and in Lebanon and in the West Bank, we have no option but to speak out, whatever the attempts to silence us. The onus is on us sometimes to take risks. But it's worth it because if we can speak to the ordinary people, like a jury, 12 chosen at random, then we are more likely to win our case. And when they were outside the court all day with the flags, the amount of cars and vans that were honking support was quite amazing. We have the people on our side. It's just the property owners and the ruling class who want to make money from their arms deals and their trade in death. And we have to point that out. If it's a lawful occupation to be a merchant to death, then that says something about our society.
Well, look,
Absolutely.
thank you, Ronnie, for coming on. It's great
Thanks
that you
very
could.
much. I just, as an old soldier, I want to salute you, Tony Greenstein. A mantle I wear too. All power to the people. Palestine will be free. People
Absolutely.
everywhere will be free. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you
That's.
very much for coming on. I have to keep going now, Tony. We've got Garda Kami on the
All
call
right.
for you. How you doing, Garda?
Hi,
What are we going to say
Joseph.
for
Yeah,
Tony?
I'm fine, and I can't congratulate you enough, Tony. It's a wonderful victory, of course, for you in personal terms. But the way I see it is, it's also a victory for the cause of Palestine. I must confess that I was nervous. I didn't think you'd get away with it. And I feared, given the current environment we're all living in, not just in Britain, but in other Western countries, but back to Britain, one can see that at the official level, there is an extraordinary campaign to salvage Israel's reputation, to protect Israel. I mean, really, I know you're aware of this, and everybody looking at the show is also aware of it. So it's for that reason I was really nervous, and I didn't think you'd get away with it.
So I was so delighted, so relieved that not only that you, as a decent, upright human being, had been vindicated, but also, you know, the jury who represent ordinary people. And that was very heartening, that we could feel that if it was left to people like them, we wouldn't be in this kind of trouble. And I also want to just say a couple more words. First of all, I'm immensely touched by your concern for the Tafawwuq Children's Center in Jenin. You said how worried you were in case something happened and you ended up in prison, how worried you were about this children's center. More than anything else, that tells me how humane you are, how decent you are. It might appear a small thing, but it's a very, very big thing, and it's very important for the Palestinians. And you know, and the other thing that finally I want to go back to the implications of this case. It staggers me that there is still an appetite for shielding Israel. It's staggering. It really is. As if the genocide, the sadism, the depravity of the Israel forces had not been revealed as clearly as it has. I'm staggered by this. I don't know what it means, but I tell you, we have to fight it. We have to fight this campaign to protect Israel. And for a start, we need to put this into action. Anybody you know who expresses support for Israel is no longer somebody you should have any dealings with. It's something like that.
When they say one of the Zionist favorite phrases is there is only one Jewish state in the world, and my response is, and it's one too many. And that has to be our response. Ethno-nationalist states are a part of the medieval past. They're a relic of civilization. And we have to be blunt. A state which is based on any religion will automatically discriminate against anyone not of that religion. It cannot be any other.
Yes, and of course, if there's any terrorism around, it's the terrorism of the British establishment against upright, decent human beings. That's the terrorism. So, and finally, I just say again, congratulations, Tony. I am
Thank you,
so
Gorda.
happy for you and for the Palestine cause. Thank you.
Thank you,
Thank you
Gorda. Good
very
to see you
much.
again. Right, Tony, it's not over yet. There's more. We've got Professor Haim Bashit on
Hi,
the call.
Chaim.
What would you like to say, Haim?
Hello, Tony.
Yeah, hello, Chaim.
Actually, I think there is not enough we can say in the time that we have about this victory. I want to criticize very gently my good friend Rada for calling you a martyr in the famous article that she has written, which was really an excellent article, because Tony, you did not behave as a martyr. You stood and fought against those who were trying to besmirch you, and not only besmirch you, but doing it by totally abolishing 800 years of British justice by trying to even remove the right for a jury trial. And we saw in this trial how important it is to defend the jury trial. And so you not only supported Palestine, you not only supported justice, but you supported a very crucial system of justice, and that's the jury trial. And I've never seen a clearer demonstration of the importance of the jury system than this. Your brilliant speech was very carefully calculated to remind the jury what I think some of you already said before, and that is that they are not just representing the British public at large, but they represent humanity, and humanity has judged and convicted Israel and Zionism, and therefore you had to be found not guilty. But what was found guilty is the justice system that took you to court in a farce, in a caricature of a justice system. And this caricature of a justice system is serving the caricature of the empire of the West. The empire of the West is declining very, very fast. The US, the UK, the EU, they're all declining. In their years of decline, they are actually breaking all the rules, and they become a picture of what they say they are fighting against. They are dictatorial, they are arbitrary, they are unjust towards everyone, not just towards the Palestinians, which goes without saying, but towards anyone in the world that considered justice important, that any society that considers that there is justice to be had and people in court can expect a just trial. So this system of justice was found guilty, and it will be more difficult because of your effort to actually do away with the jury system. And of course, the judge herself convicted herself by her behavior. She was an example of that awful caricature of justice. She behaved like a drunken sailor on skates in a china shop. She wasn't sure what she was going to say next, and I wasn't at the court because I spent my whole week in a clinic, but I followed it through the excellent broadcast by Eucharispin. So I kept in a way in touch with the trial, but I feel that was don't take it personally, Crispin. It wasn't just doing justice to Tony, in the sense that seeing Tony actually speak it would be a great experience for all of us, but of course the system does not allow this. So I want to say that to end by saying that what we learned is never accept an unjust system, never pay it any homage, never accept its universality or its values. Tony did not do that. He stood against the system, spoke against the system, and spoke to people who understood that this system is corrupt. And to end, I want to say about anti-Zionism, a very simple, I'm 80 this week, so there's not much to say for old age. Thanks. But, you know, memory is important. And I still remember a time in the 70s and 80s that there were not even 100 anti-Zionists in the whole of Britain. Actually, 100 was a figure we would have liked to have. Now we have millions and hundreds of millions of anti-Zionists all over the world. And in that jury, there were a lot of people that would not call themselves anti-Zionists, but they understood the value of fighting Zionism as the injustice of the world system, the West. And they did that by working with, by listening to you, by believing you, because you spoke to them truthfully and you spoke to them humanely, and your support of the Palestinians touched them because they supported the Palestinians themselves. So I think that was a very excellent example that we should not lose hope. Even I was very worried, like my friends who spoke before, and thought, well, what can we expect for British justice? Not much, I would say, but what we can expect from people on the jury, I think we got it. We got justice for Tony, we got justice for Palestine, we got justice for the jury system, and we got justice for opposing Zionism. Thank you for doing that, Tony.
No, it was my duty.
Thank you, Chaim. Good to see you. Hope to see you again. Have a good birthday.
Thanks.
Yeah, happy birthday.
And and I've got one more. There's a lot of people want to speak to you, Tony. But Lubna has Lubna's on the call, and
hello.
What would you like to say, Lubna? Lubna.
Well, I think most of it has been said. Very well done, and that is from all of us. So much love, solidarity always, Tony. And all the brilliant successes that have been made shows that there is a change coming, is beginning. And although sadly our faith is not with our so-called justice systems, but humanity and unity is what will liberate us. The people are speaking, and in the people, ultimately, I feel I trust a lot more now. I mean, it's sad, it's taking a genocide for the world to be shaken out of this melee that's been dictating us, the Palestinian, I'd say, existence. It's not really living, is it? It's awful, the brutality. But there is hope. And it has begun here with you, and with the cases and the successes and victories of all of our other comrades who have stood up bravely, courageously, and unapologetically. And this is the only position that we can take, and an offensive one, and continue to challenge these racist systems of prejudice. And only in doing so, through the people and the support and unity that we have, we'll continue to succeed in this. And I want to add an extra point, Tony. We've issued a statement on the Greens for Palestine Instagram. We are continuing to battle and call for the overturning of your disgusting and disgraceful expulsion, which never should have happened in the first place. This also adds more weight to the fact that they tried to do this on the grounds of your case. I mean, it's like guilty or proven innocent. It's absolutely pathetic, but we are and will and must challenge it. And we cannot afford a repeat of Labour, another 2.0. So again, it's with us, the people. So anyone in here is in the Green Party, come and join us in this support. We have to pressure them. This must be overturned, as with every other suspension and expulsion against those who have just stood up simply against genocide. It's an absolute, I'm trying not to swear, disgrace, but we are and we'll challenge it, and we will have victory in that too. Crispin, you're welcome to show people the post if I don't know how to screen share on this, but you're, or I'll post it in the chat and people can see it. And if you're not in the Green Party, please join us. Let's dismantle Zionism, dismantle Israel, and liberate all of us with it. And that is the only way we're ever going to find liberation for all people. But thank you so much, Tony, for everything you're doing. We're right behind you. We will not stop fighting, and we will continue to defend each other and oppose these racist systems and call for, basically, it's all of those that have been doing this that should be taking a stand in there. The war criminals, the IOF, Starmer, the government, like, shame on them. And these are the people that should be standing in those courtrooms, not people like you and our other activists taking action against a racist genocide war machine. So love and salute you all, and thank you everyone on this call that's been continually fighting against this. This has reinstated a lot of faith and hope for all of us as Palestinians and humanity. The people are here. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Lubna.
Thank you, Lubna. Good to see you. Thanks. And there's something else I want. I'm going to move a little bit, change a little bit here, because there has been a response from people who wanted you to be convicted on social media. You point this out in your blog, Heidi.
Heidi, yes.
Tony Greenstein was found not guilty of supporting support for was for. Not guilty of inviting support for a prescribed organisation. In my opinion, this was a failure of the CPS once again to get justice and to protect us all from Tony. Shameful and disappointing with dangerous consequences. Right, and
that's
here,
the Zionist.
Then this one here, Heidi Backlund, who has remarked on it. Heidi's been having a bad few days. Tony Greenstein has been found not guilty of inviting support for Hamas. It wasn't this post he was charged with. Yet time and again, he expressed this grotesque opinion. What a huge failure of the legal system. I am furious. Now, I want to bring in Greg to talk about this, because I think you both know these characters who attack
you.
Oh, yeah. Greg, what's your knowledge about? How are you feeling about those Heidi Backlund tweets? Does it show that they're on the back foot? What do you think they're planning next?
Well, first, I want to congratulate Tony. That's not a figure of speech. I really support Tony and always have done, even times when the Labour Party in Brighton and Hove has failed, momentum has failed, the Green Party are currently failing. It is not yet illegal to support Tony Greenstein. He is not a prescribed individual, right? And we must do that at every turn. My dream, actually, is to sit on a platform with you, Tony, with Reginald Hunter, with Claire Kerrison, and with me, four of us who have been chased by Heidi Backram into the courts by Fiona Sharp. And if we've been acquitted because they failed. They failed with me. They failed with you. They failed with Reginald Hunter and they failed with Claire Kerrison. No wonder they're so upset. The right people are upset, very upset. These are the most vile and vicious Zionists in our country. Heidi Backram, Fiona Sharp and Peter Kyle. We must remember that it's MPs who make the law, often badly drafted, often used and abused by the police and the CPS. That's what we've got with Section 127 of the Communications Act, the Terrorism Act. It's not an accident. If that jury had not existed, that judge would have sent you to prison for 14 years. It's almost certain. We have to have juries. But most importantly, we have to realise that we've got to get rid of this legislation. And the way to do that is to keep time and time and time again to show its weaknesses and its flawed nature. Because behind that is the state, a state that is supporting Israeli genocide endlessly. And that's the real enemy. So I look forward to meeting you in person yet again. We've been through a lot. I couldn't remember the first time when I met you, Tony. I must have blanked it out, I think. It may have been 2006. And I'd just joined the Labour Party when I'd retired. A mistake, I know. And I knocked on a door in Hollingbury around the corner. And you answered it, and you suggested I leave. Didn't put it in such few words, really. And then, of course, we became good friends and comrades through some fun. Well, actually, I was foolish enough to invite you to become a columnist on Brighton and Hove Independent, a weekly newspaper I used to co-own and edit. And as I tweeted yesterday, you weren't always the easiest columnist. You seemed to think that when I asked for 800 words, you had to provide 2,000. And you thought we somehow had elastic paper that we printed on in those days. And we did get a lot of feedback. But throughout that period, 2011 to 13, to 2015 onwards, I've always been proud to support you, but never prouder than when I got sight of the text you were planning to deliver. I'm sorry I couldn't have been there on the Friday. It was marvellous being with you on the Thursday.
Sure.
It is noticeable, as a former journalist, it is noticeable that not a single mainstream media outlet, apart from the BBC, has carried some excellent copy that the Press Association provided, including Peter Kyle, Fiona Sharp's friends in Brighton, the Brighton and Hove News, and Joe Wadsworth, who still has only published one version that you were charged, but not that you were not guilty.
I noticed that in my blog. I've mentioned that.
So I look forward. You may not be prescribed, but you are debanked. We have to find a venue in Brighton and Hove that will have you in the building with us that is protected from the outrageous people who are among us. But they are few. They are very few. And quite literally, we know we're many. And we see it in the juries. Yeah. When normal people, civilized human beings, get to hear the truth, they understand it and see it for what it is. This handful of people who are agents of Israel in our midst, they are few and they lie. And we are catching them out in their lies time and time again. Whatever the mainstream media do, I can hardly believe there are many people in the UK today who haven't heard of Tony Greenstein and his acquittal and his victory for the freedom of Palestine. And they must be very proud of you, as we all are.
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Good to see you again.
Yeah. Thank you.
We'll sort out some way. We'll hang out together again.
Cheers. You'll compare this celebration in Brighton, Crispin, yeah?
Okay. All right. All right.